If you will, turn with me in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 2, and I'm going to be reading from verse 25 through 29. We are often warned about, especially in the epistles of Paul, that we are not to have confidence in the flesh. And Paul is right, of course. I'm not going to disagree with him. If our confidence comes from the fact that we've been good enough that God will let us into to his kingdom, then that is a problem. But as Christians, we should have confidence in our fleshly bodies, not that we are good enough, but that God is with us. I don't think God wants us always running around trembling and thinking that we're not part of his kingdom. In today's scripture, Paul tells us about how we have confidence that we are, in fact, Christians and what we believe is true. Let's now turn to God's word. And this is what he has promised us. Eternal life. I am writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. As for you, the anointing you receive from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it is taught you, remain in him. And now, dear children, continue in him so that when he appears, we may have confident and unashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of him. Let us pray. Jesus, help us to be confident while we remain in this world that what we have believed is true. That when we are challenged, we will hold fast to the faith and remain in Christ. I make this prayer in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The English poet Sarah Williams wrote this: I have loved the stars too fondly to be in fear of the night. Certainly, nighttime can be a fearful time. You can't see what is around you. You can trip. You can fall. As we used to say, you don't know where the boogeyman is who may come out to rob you or harm you. Night, darkness, it's a good metaphor for a lot that also goes on in this world, especially the uncertainty that can come from following Christ. There's all these voices that we hear that make us think what we believe is untrue. For example, the intellectual crowd, the academics may say, you Bible-believing Christians, you're unintellectual, you're a bunch of fundamentalists. You haven't kept up with the latest learning. And I can imagine that a poor college student who has gone to his church for all his life leaves that class with his confidence in the faith shattered. The intellectual crowd doesn't like what we believe, and they will try to convince you that you are wrong at times, and it may lead you to think that you, in fact, have been mistaken about your belief in Jesus Christ. When I was younger, I used to work one of the shifts at Howard Johnson's, the old hotel chain, Petersburg, Virginia. And one of my fellow workers, was a high school classmate, was going to Virginia Commonwealth University, came back and started telling me about the Gospel of Thomas. And the implication was I, as a Christian, had gotten everything wrong. And it did make me wonder, maybe I am wrong. Maybe there's something they didn't teach me in church. And I lost my confidence for a while. Well, the Bible is concerned with those doubts you have, which either come from our intellectual friends, or they may come every time you go to a funeral and you see someone that you have known who has died, and you may say to yourself, well, maybe what I believe about Jesus is all wrong. Maybe it's not true. Well, do you realize that in the first century, people had those same questions as well? And do you realize what John is doing here is addressing that very issue, the lack of confidence that the early church had? I mean, let me tell you, you had false teachers going around misleading God's people. And they would go to these churches and teach people that that belief that you guys have had in Jesus Christ existing in the flesh was all wrong. They were saying what John taught you was wrong. You shouldn't have believed it. And the believers back then were probably wondering, well, you know, John preached and we really liked him, but maybe he didn't tell us everything. Maybe he was misled. And so they're all wondering, is our faith correct? And they were starting to lose confidence. The false teachers had upset the apple cart, so to speak. Well, this morning, the Holy Spirit has given us this passage of Scripture to address that very problem of confidence that you and I may have because our faith is challenged not only by false teaching, but also by life in which we face a lot of tragedy. And when that question comes up, did I do the right thing by believing in Jesus Christ? We can find some answers in the darkness. And just as there are stars in the sky that can give us light, so here we have some stars of the Bible. And one of the stars is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that shines light into our life. He is the Spirit of truth. And he is what we need to rely on as our light. Now, there are plenty of objections by bringing up the Holy Spirit. We have all been influenced in one form or another by the charismatic movement, probably a lot of it negative. But when you read the Bible, the Holy Spirit is there. The Holy Spirit is at work in the life of the Christian. And the Spirit is important because we are tempted not to have any confidence. Now, you've heard of confidence builders. Those are exercises that you can do to help you gain more confidence in what you are trying to do. The Holy Spirit is the one who is our confidence builder. Especially if you lack confidence in what you believe, if the world is telling you you're wrong, you failed, what you believe is old-fashioned, out of date, and you start to question whether you were right all along. Well, John deals with that here. He deals with those questions the early believers had. Did Jesus Christ come into the flesh? Did Jesus Christ die for my sin? Is Jesus Christ the Messiah? Is Jesus Christ the one who's coming again? John deals with it by the light of the Holy Spirit to give you confidence. And look at what John is saying to his little flock. He is telling them in verse 25b, you have receive the promise of eternal life. You're going to have life everlasting, little flock. You're going to have it because it has been promised in the Word of God. And yes, there are people leading you astray. But look what else he says in verse 26 and verse 27. I am writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. As for you, the anointing you receive from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit. What is he talking about? Anointing. Well, I usually don't like to bring up Greek words, but that word anointing, it goes back to the Greek word charisma. It's where we get the word charismatic from. It's referring to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that comes into the believer's life and convinces them that the Word of God is true. It counteracts the false teachers. The Holy Spirit guides you into truth. Listen to what Paul says. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. And what does Jesus say? The Spirit guides you into all truth. And in verse 28, it tells us this is the reason we have confidence that when Jesus appears, we're going to be confident. A very emotionally laden term. Confident that what we believe is right. Confidence, it's the way of saying we have rest in our souls, that what we have been taught in the church, what we have trusted in, is true. It does not come from the intellectual world. It does not come from schools and universities. The reason that you have trust and rest is because the work of the Holy Spirit. It's subjective. But I know in my own experience, when I listened as a very young man to when the gospel was preached, there came a time when I simply believed and had confidence that I was saved by Christ, that it was all true. Don't think it's too subjective, because a subjective is based on the objective work of Jesus Christ. And we don't believe things merely intellectually. It has to be part of our heart as well. So keep in mind, brothers and sisters in Christ, one star in the dark sky is the Holy Spirit who gives rest for our souls and our minds. And let me tell you why this is important, because there would be people today who will tell you, well, you see, the reason that you believe in Jesus is because you have this deep psychological need to believe in him. And we may say, then it can't be true. No, it could be the work of the Holy Spirit. In fact, it is the work of the Holy Spirit. And while we may have a need for it, there are those who also have a deep psychological need to reject it. Now, what the Holy Spirit has done, he's worked in all of our lives. If you believe in Jesus Christ, there is a reason why when you lay down at night, you are at rest in Christ. It's because of his work. Ask yourself this question. Are you trusting and resting in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you believe it is true? If you do, it is because the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, is working in your heart. That is one of the lights that shines in the darkness and the lies and the deceit of this world. But I also want to tell you that there is more in this passage. There is a second light that shines. A second light which can verify the fact that what you believe is in fact true. It's your lifestyle. That is something you can objectively look at. No, I did not say your lifestyle will be perfect. But ask yourself this. Has your life changed because of Christ? Now, in this passage, Jesus says one day there's going to be a great separation between people. The sheep and the goats. Believers, unbelievers. Those who follow Christ, those who do not follow Christ. And we look at the Bible, I want you to look at the people whose lives changed because of Christ. Mary Magdalene. Demons, a prostitute. Changed her life. Matthew, a tax collector. Hated by the Israelites because he worked for the Romans. Became a Christian. Gave to the kingdom of God. Peter, Paul, he persecuted the church, changed it, but the Holy Spirit came into his heart, changed it, he gave his life for the church. And we can go on in the history of the world and the numbers who have changed, whose lives really changed. Some were martyrs. More recently, you can think of Chuck Colson, the Watergate hatchet man. Now, he became a Christian in prison, and everybody was thinking, ah, here we go again. Another man who's trying to get off easy because he's saying he's a Christian. No, he really changed. And he was no longer the same person. And what was the best evidence that God was at work in his life? His changed life. That's what it was. And look here what John says in verse 28. And now, dear children, continue in him. Don't give up. Continue. So that when he appears, we may be what? Confident and unashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of him. The same word is used earlier where Jesus talks about being born again. Well, here he's saying, if you are righteous, if you have followed Christ, no, I'm not saying you've done it perfectly, but if you do follow Christ and are moving in the direction of looking more like Jesus, it is a sure sign you are a Christian. And I want you to notice what's going to happen one day. You're going to have two groups. The confident and the shamed. The changed versus the unshamed. The shamed, those who are embarrassed because once and for all they have been caught in their lies. That day people can have their conscience seared. But one day when you stand before the throne of Jesus, oh, don't worry. You'll know that you have not followed God because it will be obvious because you are standing before the holy God of Israel who knows all things. And those who have confidence, it's because their life has changed. Here's what one person has said about who we are in Christ. Believers are not simply people who are trying to live a little better. They have been transformed. Our lives are evidence of God's grace. And when he comes, We will not shrink away from him in fear and embarrassment and shame. So you want to know, is what you believe true about Jesus? Take a look at your life. Take a look. Have you changed since you've been a Christian? Oh, I didn't say that you have not committed any sins. You are all sinners. But the general direction of your life is moving in a different direction. And now we come to communion. Do you have a desire to be with Christ? To come and feed with him, to be with him? Oh, why, that is part of your life as well. It is part of the light that should shine because you know that you need Jesus. You need his continual work to transform your life. That is also part of the light that shines in the darkness. It is one of those stars in the night that is out there which deceives us. Jesus. A transformed life. The Spirit at work. So don't be fearful of the darkness. You have the light of the gospel in your life. Subjectively, you trust. Objectively, you look at your life and Jesus Christ. So let's come to the table and rest in the fact Jesus is our Lord who died for us, and it is true. Our Heavenly Father, please be with us now as we come to the Lord's table. May we fully confess our sins, but may we also have a greater confidence that what we believe is true. Holy Spirit, today use communion to give us a greater faith. I make this prayer in his name. Amen.